Hello and welcome to Zero Hour. This is Tim Bowring. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores Richmond's thriving art scene and the people that make it happen. Every Friday at 12:30, we sit down at a Richmond cafe and have lunch with one of these folks. Conversation is live and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. As some of you know, every now and again, I like to sit down and talk with someone who is not an artist in the conventional sense of the word, but maybe an artist in another way. And I'm talking with Rosa Jimenez-Vasquez. Welcome, Rosa, to Zero Hour. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me, Tim.
Yeah, sure. You and I met briefly at a, I don't know what you'd call
lunch.
But it was a real pleasure meeting you because you have a lot of fascinations, a lot of interests.
Live long and you will have.
Do you mind if I say how old you are?
Oh, no.
Okay, she's 39. And
right, 39.
No, 82?
82.
82. I wish we were on video. Because people always, I'm sure.
They tell me that.
All the time. 82. Well, you know, the 82 is the new 62. You know that, don't you?
Right.
Have you heard that ridiculous expression?
Right.
That, you know, 40 is the new 30, 30 is the new 20, 20 is the new 0. So what's birth? Birth is the new minus 10, I guess. But anyway, some of the things that we started talking about, I really found fascinating. And one of the things we can talk about briefly, I guess, because it's so topical, is Hillary Clinton, but in the context of feminine energy. And in more specifically, in your interpretation of what that means and the impact that has on the world around us.
I believe that we are moving worldwide to the use of feminine energy.
When you say feminine energy, what do you mean?
I mean, if you learn about left brain, right brain, mm-hmm. women, feminine energy is right brain. So it's more holistic.
More intuitive.
More intuitive. Not only that, believe in conversation and dialogue, mm-hmm. diplomacy. Mm-hmm. Believe in not fighting, but loving, compassion. So I think that we could then talk nation to nation, brothers to brothers, sisters to sisters, without the resentment that we use today from country to country. Mm-hmm. And there is about 18 women president in different nations today.
Are there really? 18?
About
women
18.
Presidents, really.
And prime ministers, tremendous number. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think
that... Yeah, Margaret Thatcher comes to mind, but she hardly reminds me of somebody who I would think of as... well, maybe feminist, you know, in sort of the old sense of the word, in that she was a tough
the
old
The thing
bird,
is but. That she had to be tough to be able to compete with male
right.
energy, and maybe she dressed and she... Like Hillary did mm-hmm. at a point. She had mm-hmm. been seen as masculine mm-hmm. in many ways,
yes.
strong, hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's that women, the pioneer women who open up the road for other women, have to express themselves according to the environment, and the environment is male-dominated.
Right, right. Well, it was interesting when she teared up a little bit. Just a little. I mean, she didn't even cry. She just teared up.
She teared up.
National news, national
right. oh,
media,
yeah.
national story for a week. I mean, one emotion.
And
one
she said, I 15, found my voice.
15 seconds of emotion, and it was like, oh, okay. Well, she really is a woman after all.
She has feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading about this thing in the newspaper this morning. It's nothing to do with what we're talking about, but is it in Argentina? Where was it?
In Argentina, there is a woman president.
No, this was different. This was, I wish I remember where it was. Anyway, a culture, relatively small culture, relatively secluded culture, and it's dying out now. And there was a time at which, if the husband in the family passed away and there were no sons in the family, the woman could declare herself a man if she said she would be a virgin for the rest of her life.
Right.
And the men would accept her.
Right.
And so she would cut her hair, wear male pants, and be allowed to do male things. And the woman that they were talking to said this is the greatest thing. She said it was so wonderful because she said they treated dogs and women the same way. She said, so when my husband died, it was my freedom. In a way, I mean, it's a heck of a price to pay. But
right.
I guess it's sort of like being a nun in a way.
But exactly.
Yeah.
So it's required of you to forget your sexuality.
Exactly. Right.
And that's how society has punished.
Yeah, quite a price to pay
right.
for for the same kinds of choices but, and freedom that the men around you have.
And when you look at feminine energy, even medicine today is moving into feminine energy.
How so?
Because it's using a series of therapies that are more right brain. Mm-hmm. So medicine is not only giving pills and cutting and using medication, and the strategies for healing or curing that I had before, they are moving into those therapies that come from cultural holistics and right brainer. Mm-hmm. They use metaphors mm-hmm. that we don't know what metaphor is in our culture.
Yeah, and when you say that, I mean...
Metaphor is not talking directly mm-hmm. about something, but it's creating something that means that you thought.
Can you give me an example?
Okay, I can use a knife for a pain. Mm-hmm. Like people say, oh, I feel like I have a knife.
Yeah.
So the knife is a metaphor for pain. And when you're healing, if you pull a knife, mm-hmm. then you release the pain.
So something to visualize, something to conceptualize.
It's imagery.
To help you conceptualize something that doesn't have a concept.
But it's using all the senses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the use of all the senses, it's including touching. And that's why it's right brain. Because imagination comes from right brain. Mm-hmm. Left brainers have very little power to imaginate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So children are the greatest clients, or women who are right brainers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are wired that way.
Really?
We are wired to anchor ourselves into the right brain and then use the left brain. Yeah. That's men are learning. I think men in the future will be very right brainer. They are crying. They are sensitive. They are expressing. They are sensing. They are using colors in their shirts and mm-hmm. ties. Mm-hmm. So they are beginning to use resources mm-hmm. that were not there for them before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was looking at some guy in a suit the other day, and I thought, my how it's incredible, but how old fashioned. I mean, I have suits. I wear suits, but you know, it used to be the only color a man could wear was a tie.
Right. But today, even they use...
And the tie was pointed directly at his genitals. So like,
and the tie had to be the red, black, right. or blue.
So I was like, you get, you know, three colors, and guess what? It gets to point at your sex.
Right.
You know, that's about it.
Today, you can see the hot pink, mm-hmm. a hot pink tie with a violet shirt.
Right.
In
right.
men.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. You say,
yeah.
wow, good, great.
Yeah. Instead of just a gray suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well... well, we started to move in this direction a little bit because you started talking about healing, and that's really what I wanted to talk to you about, is healing and the benefits of meditation. Talk a little bit about your work with healing and meditation.
Recently, last 2 weeks ago, I did a group on MCV for cancer patients. On meditation, and it's incredible. After 2.5 hours working with them and doing meditation and teaching them to beginning breathe properly, they were so energized that they wanted me to come back. So
really?
I'm coming back this month.
Okay.
And maybe we will develop a more frequent group
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm. What did you do with the group?
What I did is to teach them, the beginning thing was to teach them to breathe properly. Breathing from the diaphragm mm-hmm. is the proper way of breathing. Mm-hmm. And most of us learn to breathe very shallow.
Right.
So we spend our life in a shallow mood that is bad for your heart, it's bad for your brain, it doesn't help you. So if you really get a deep breath and fill your lungs and then you push the air through the diaphragm, but to the mm-hmm. belly. The mm-hmm. belly grows and belly
right.
flattens. That's a proper way of breathing. So that's a beginning that we did. And then we moved to breathe from your heart, the centering. That is very calming. And we learned to do different type of meditation, like one in the style of Benson, that is the relaxation response that is using mantra. Others like...
Give me an example of that.
For example,
because Benson is someone who's very well known with his work with yogis, right?
Oh, yeah.
He
started in 1974. Mm-hmm. He did a research with yogis using MRIs and using taking the blood pressure mm-hmm. and the heartbeat.
Heart rate, right.
And he discovered that meditation takes you to a state of calmness, mm-hmm. and train all the rhythm of your body, not only your blood pressure, but the brain rhythm, all get entrained at the same speed. And so what he did, because he did it with yogi that used mantras, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. he then created the relaxation response, and the book is the relaxation response written in 1975. For example, you close your eyes, you breathe, you take a deep breath, and you let go all the concerns that you have from the day and so on. And then you begin to breathe rhythmically without moving or changing the rhythm of your body, not forcing yourself. And then you begin to say words like love and gratitude. Mm-hmm. So you breathe in love and breathe out gratitude. And you enter into that rhythm of love and gratitude for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that will begin to reduce all the rhythm of your body. Mm. You get completely relaxed and entrained to a lower rate. Mm-hmm. And so they're using it today for depression.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they using it for depression? Or?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
They are using also another style. This you can do with music. Mm-hmm. So and for some people, music is very important. Now, you can do silence meditations with no mantra, mm-hmm. anchoring in the breathing, right. only following the breathing. That's a mindfulness meditation. And Kabat-Zinn, who has a program in the Massachusetts, in the hospital, has been the one that has been the teacher, the writer, of that type of meditation.
And that's Kabat-Zinn?
K-A-B, like in boy, A-T, hyphen Z-I-N-N.
Oh, okay.
And John. Mm-hmm. And what you do with that is simply just get into the breathing, paying your attention, centering your attention in the way the air flows through mm-hmm. your nose and in and out. And when you fly away thinking, oh, I have to go shopping, you don't fight that. You look at it. You let it go. Come back to your breathing. Mm-hmm. You do that for 15 minutes twice a day. Mm-hmm. Now, what is good, this kind of, people say, oh, well, I cannot quiet my mind.
I can't
quiet
my mind.
Well, we know. We know. No one can.
You have no idea how much is going on up there. Right. You've never meditated.
No one knows.
It's a train wreck.
No one can do that. But the important thing is that you begin to understand the structure of your thoughts.
Right, right.
You begin to discover that there is a recurrent thought that maybe you have to pay attention because it's a problem that you have not solved in your life. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's a thought that is not significant.
Right.
It's something from the past that you maybe have to look into it and say, what is what I learned from that memory? Mm-hmm. And let it go.
Right.
So it's a way of cleaning mm-hmm. the trunk of your grandmother.
Yeah, right.
Because that's the way the brain is. It's so incredible.
I was meditating, and I guess it was about 2 weeks ago, and I got done. And about an hour later, I came in here and sat down to write. And one of the things I wrote was, I meditate because it creates distance between me and my emotions.
Uh-huh.
And right. Which is an interesting thought. You know,
yeah.
It's sort of like, who's this me you're talking?
Right, because
me and my emotions aren't I
observing?
I am my emotions.
I am observing the observer.
So what's observing? Right,
right.
Yeah,
because you become the observer of the observed.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You become the observer.
And it's very interesting because then you are in a meeting, for example, and if you meditate, you can use yourself in a way that you are looking how you are behaving
right.
at the mm-hmm. same time that you're mm-hmm. acting. Mm-hmm. And if you're a therapist, it's wonderful because it allows you to be with the other while you are with yourself.
Right, right.
And at the same time, you have more clarity. You are not confused. Mm-hmm. You are not so involved with yourself.
Jumbled.
Like you said, I put distance on my emotions. Mm-hmm. I am not that urgently needing pay attention to myself.
Right, right.
That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think so. Well, what about other kinds of healing that you've done? We were talking a little bit about distance healing, which I'm sure people, when you say that, people look at you and go, yeah, right.
Well, the people are beginning to know Reiki. Reiki is a very old, ancient Japanese technique that uses the aura, or the centers of energy that we have, the chakras, and uses the energy of the person. We see each other as massive,
right,
and complete structure, but really we are a flowing mm-hmm. energy.
Right.
Our eyes are not prepared to see the flowing energy. Mm-hmm. Our eyes were prepared to see form. And I think that created what's very wise, because we need to see colors and we have to sense when we are in the body.
Yeah, to survive.
Right. But Reiki is very powerful. The person doesn't have to be undressed, or it's not massage. You're lightly touched, or you don't have to be touched. But as you are trained into this technique, you are given the initiation of using higher level of energy in your body. Mm-hmm. So you can use the universal energy that has higher level of the person energy, and you transmit that energy to the other person.
And so there's actually a way
healing
to learn how to do that?
Oh, yes. Sort of, I train.
Sort of plug into the world?
I train.
Plug into the. I guess it's not the unconscious. It's something else, but I guess that's the word Jung used, I suppose.
Yeah.
The unconscious.
Well, it is a, and you realize that you are really in a higher level of energy. Your hands can become warm as a pad, electric
yeah.
pad,
mm-hmm.
When you are performing the Reiki session. But also when you pass your hand around people, you begin to connect with your energy and you perceive their level of energy,
mm-hmm.
and you can determine sometimes if there is a block.
Right.
Because when you pass your hand and you enter into the aura, you begin, like, I pass my hand around here, and you're vibrating to this level here.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel your electrical
mm-hmm.
responses in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you provide, I work with the centers, the chakras,
mm-hmm.
and I create, I measure the energy in each chakras, and I cleanse the energy in a way that all the chakras will move in the same range and the same rhythm. So the person energy flows.
So someone who's listening to this, right, and who is still very much left brain and analytical, and is going, come on.
Yeah, solid like wood.
Well, I mean, because what's happened, interestingly, with MRIs and things like that, is that a lot of these things that were, you know, well, for instance, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when you talked about pushing needles into people's bodies,
oh yeah,
to heal them or to stop pain or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's like you've got to be out of your mind.
Right.
The masters that do that, I was watching a documentary one time, they have to be able to push these tiny, thin little needles into bags filled with rice or something without
mm-hmm.
them breaking.
Right.
And it takes like 5 years to learn how to do it. But acupuncture is one example of something that has become mainstream now.
Well, medicine is very
But it's interesting because this is so easy to dismiss. You know, what do you mean you feel my aura? You know what I mean? What was this, the
medicine
60s again?
Medicine has not been able to see the meridians where they put the needles,
mm-hmm.
but has been able to measure the effectiveness of the responses of the body to
right.
the use of the needle.
So in the Western way of thinking, you know, if something can be demonstrated and can be quantified
measured.
And measured, then therefore it has
it's okay.
some sense, it has some sense of validity to it.
What is interesting that these are techniques that has been there for millions of years
mm-hmm.
in the hands of this wisdom,
mm-hmm.
The wise culture.
Right.
And that we now are trying, the modern medicine, integrative medicine, is trying to understand it because it's effective.
Well, you see it in research. I mean, that for years there was qualitative research,
right,
which was all statistically driven, which was based on the assumption that the observer was not influencing what was going on, that they were able to be objective, which I think
right.
is so amazing. And then all that started to sort of fall apart with sort of postmodern thinking, you know, that, you know. And then do you remember that experiment? What is that experiment where they had a sort of a wedge-shaped object, tiny little object, I guess, but with a hole, tiny little hole in it, and they bombarded it with electrons. And when they bombarded it with electrons, I think, and they weren't looking at it, but they were recording where the electrons were going through some kind of marking system or something, the electrons would go around this thing. And when they were looking at it, the electrons would go through the
right.
opening.
I know. Like the electronics had eyes.
Well, like everything's interconnected.
Right.
Like all of us, you know, we all interact and affect everything around us.
But we don't live like that. We don't live in harmony with the rhythm of the universe.
Mm-mm. No, talk about that. What do you mean?
It's very, you know, the universe has rhythm. You have summer, winter. Mm-hmm. You have rain season, dry season.
Right.
And it's very, it flows easy.
Mm-hmm.
We make it very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you are in tune with the rhythm of nature, you really, you are part of the creation. And that's when you develop your spirituality. And I think that, in my point of view, the senses are the portal mm-hmm. to get us to that spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can sense beauty. We can sense the feather of a bird. We can see a flower, not as a flower, but the creation.
As a miracle.
And the miracle.
Yeah.
And we are miracle. We are perfect.
Yeah.
You know, when you think that I have nails in the right place and teeth in the right place and everything is...
And that is really staggering.
It's incredible.
It's really...
And we have make us not perfect.
Right.
I think we were created perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were created with the ability to heal.
With the ability to heal.
Right.
Yeah.
It was given... By birth. Medicine, there are medical doctors now saying that it's born with.
Well, it's interesting. They're doing a lot of studies now on placebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
And
they
have found that the placebo effect sometimes is more effective
than the real thing.
So there's this whole study now
right.
in medical school of using the placebo
right.
effect to good cause.
Psychoneuroimmunology.
Yes.
Is
yeah,
the
yeah.
science
is that what it's called? Really?
Right. It's the science that research and
they had to put
and
a great
prove
name
that.
On it. Yeah.
BNI. For yeah, short, P&I.
Sure, right. As far as healing, because we're getting a little short on time, talk about some of the healing you've done that's actually worked.
I have seen some things that are very interesting and out of the common. A friend of mine had an aneurysm. She was on her 50th birthday, and I went to the hospital and began to do Reiki, and they were keeping her in a very high blood pressure. And because we're planning to do surgery.
Right.
And after I did the session, they screamed, "You're killing her. The whole blood pressure is going down." So I got very scared. So I pray to all these saints that work with me.
Right.
This is like a Friday. Monday, they're going to do surgery. They do an MRI. And they say, "Your aneurysm is gone. Go home. Goodbye." That's one.
Wow.
That's the stream. But I have seen people who have pain and improve,
yeah,
and people
pain.
Who have cancer survive. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know if survive because of the Reiki or survive because they were going to survive anyway. But I think that what the Reiki does increase the energy,
mm-hmm.
and when they go through chemo, they recoup some of the energy that they lose,
mm-hmm.
and also. The work of Reiki and the way I work is providing positive energy,
mm-hmm.
maintaining the person in a high level of positive reaction
right.
through meditation, through guided imagery, through Reiki, or through conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I have seen people who have cancer and have gone through the period of chemo doing quite well.
Right.
I have...
Well, I mean, it's almost sounds cynical, but I mean, if you're going to struggle with cancer, I guess you, like with life, you have a choice. You can either choose to struggle with it in some kind of positive way where every day is you know, may have difficulties and be difficult, but I think you can make a decision about whether or not you're going to let this overwhelm you.
Right.
And to have these tools to help someone say, yes, you have a choice. That's the thing.
Right.
You have a choice you can make here. You can, yes, you can get depressed and curl up in a ball and just go, okay.
And finished. You face death.
Right. Yeah.
Because there is no way you can escape from it.
Right.
But you choose life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's that choice that you choose life.
Right.
And not only that, in social workers like I am, we love critical moment. Critical events are wonderful because it's the moment where your client is the best to change.
Ah, okay. So sort of a teachable moment, you mean.
Right, it's a very moment. So a person with cancer, you can help the person to see life in a different light and to see events of their life in a positive.
Can you?
For example.
I have a friend who had uterine cancer, and it was really bad. And she is now in remission. But I got to say, the last time I saw her, she almost radiated. I mean, it was like spooky.
Well,
you know, I expected to see her come in, you know, looking bald and drawn. And I mean, she had the same kind of energy that, you know, when someone brings a baby into a room.
Right.
I mean, everybody turned around and looked at her.
Mm-hmm.
And not because she was bald, but because she just was
emitting
this.
Healing is not, she might not cure the cancer, but she's healed.
Right.
She had made peace with her life.
Right.
She knows the choices. She knows what is significant in her life, and she's going to pursue it.
Right, right.
And it's very different when you don't have a cancer and you spend life kicking the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the ball is kicking you versus you kick the ball.
Right.
Here you make choices. You decide that this is what I want. This is significant in my life, and you pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you choose life, life is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to come back.
Right.
You know, I want to enjoy this sensing world. So,
well, I'm sure you will.
I hope I do.
Yeah.
Like some people say, oh, no, I'm so perfect that I won't come back.
I don't want to come back.
I want to come back and work again.
Well, just that statement indicates to me you have a little work left to do.
I know.
Yeah. Well, anything else? Is there a website? How do people get in touch with you if they want to work
I
with you?
I have a website, awakingtohealing.com.
Awakingtohealing.com.
Awaking to Healing is AwakeintoHealing.
Okay.
And my email is awakingtohealing@verizon.net.
Okay. Verizon.net, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid we're just about out of time. Thank you very, very much for talking about this and sharing this. I think, and it was interesting, I was watching something on the 60s last night, and I was, you know, of age in the 60s, and there was a very short window there, when it really was a good thing. And a lot of what you've been talking about, seems to be sort of a resurgence of some of that. You see some of that with Barack Obama. You see, I mean, I think we're on the edge of something here again. You know, it seems like, you know, you've got the 20s, you've got the 40s, you've got the 60s, you've got the, then there was a long period. I don't know what it was, but.
I think this is part of the 60s awakening.
It seems like that.
Right.
It seems like there's a real awakening going
on. Right.
You know. I mean, guess what? We're out of gas, guys.
Okay.
Now what?
Right. Let's walk.
Yeah, right. So, well, anyway, thank you again.
Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. And for talking with us today, Maria. And thank you, folks, for listening. We hope to see you on the radio again for lunch next Friday at 12:30. This is Tim Bowring, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM. Richmond's Indie Radio, it's radio for the rest of us.